Views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory,
oh,
glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know this voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I have no clue what you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is you do, I'm happy that you're doing that. You have decided to do that do with me. It's Monday. Hope you all had a wonderful weekend. I completely did absolutely very little on the weekend. Saturday, right, wasn't that just the most unpredictable weather you've ever seen? It was, I don't know, gray and moist and damp and that kind of stuff. And so I didn't do much yesterday. And then, of course, Saturday. And then, of course, yesterday, I went out and to watch a little bit of football. And I have to say to myself that the Miami Dolphins looks like a team that practices in three different stadiums. It looks like their offensive line practices someplace, the quarterback practices in another place, and then the defensive line practices somewhere completely different. They obviously do not ever see one another until Sunday, maybe, and when it's absolutely game time. I'm not even sure if they ride the same bus to the stadium together. They must all come in individual cars because they don't look like they know anything about the playbook. I'm not really sure what's happening with the Miami Dolphins. If you are a Miami Dolphin fan, at this point, you know, drug abuse may be less volatile to your existence than being a fan of the Miami Dolphins. That's all I want to say. Also, Tom Brady yesterday suffered a defeat. Can you believe it? People actually are hooping and hollering that a 44-year-old was beaten by a benching quarterback half his age. Nonetheless, I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know, when you're great, people cheer for your demise. And so I hope to be that great one day, that I become so great that people actually cheer when I fail because I'm so good at, you know, kicking the rut at the door and taking the names at the back of the room. That's my goal. Anyway, so there's things that are happening today. Oh, let me also say a special good morning to my friends over there at BAF, Big O. Good morning. And to my friends over there at the Cole Thompson Pharmacy, good morning to you all as well. So now that I've gotten that out of the way, I want to invite my friends in the Progressive Liberal Party. I've been watching this bit of traveling. You know, the Minister of Foreign Affairs is doing exactly what I assume a Minister of Foreign Affairs ought to be doing, and that is going into the far-flung corners of the earth, carrying the good news of the great gospel that the Bahamas is still up, open, and ready for business, right? And so Fred Mitchell is doing that in executive class, I might add. I've never sat on a plane and sat next to three windows at one time. So it is only my hope, though. And I'm going to implore the new Davis administration, that which 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'm going to say verse 19 to about 25 says. But the chief scripture among them, or verse among them, is verse 22. And it says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Shun the very appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that is the epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And again, I want to go back to verse 22. Beloved, shun the very appearance of evil. Shun the very appearance of evil. So I see that the Prime Minister is in Scotland. He, along with an entourage, of course, I imagine he wants to carry a big enough contingent. But I don't know when it became a practice to need to pull all these bunch of wife up and down all over the place. I think it is a trend that was started by Dr. Hubert Minnis and his Minister of Foreign Affairs, Darren Enfield. I think those two were known for traveling with their wives. If you remember, there was a big hullabaloo about the increase in travel allowances. It was even greater hullabaloo when there was an increase in travel allowances for the spouses of cabinet ministers, and an even greater hoo-ha when there was an increase in the per diem for the spouses of cabinet ministers. Now, I think we create a wonderful little quagmire here when you consider the fact that the wife of the prime minister, the spouse of the prime minister, who happens to be a wife in this instance, has an official office. The question then becomes, is the spouse of the prime minister traveling in her official capacity as spouse of the prime minister? And if she is, does that mean she also has to take her staff? And if she is, then the question becomes, what is her actual function? And should we expect that on all instances that the prime minister travels, the spouse of the prime minister will travel in official capacity? And do we have an itinerary for the spouse of the prime minister? Is she going to be there meeting with other spouses of prime ministers? Are other prime ministers taking their spouses? What exactly is it costing us, right? You know, there is a big conversation. And Loretta Butler-Turner deemed it a travesty, I think was her word. But absolutely, she had accepted that it was unholy when the Free National Movement considered this. Brethren, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22, King James, in his version of the Bible, admonishes us to shun the very appearance of evil. Am I saying it's wrong? I don't know if I'm saying it's wrong. Am I saying it doesn't look right? Yes, in fact, I am. I see the Minister of State for the Environment has also gone with the Prime Minister. He too has taken his wife. And so the question becomes, right, in a time when we are telling people that we are trying to figure out the numbers surrounding whether or not the reduction in VAT to 10% is one that is really going to benefit poor people. In a time when we're saying that the government of the Bahamas is $1 billion under budget from what we had anticipated prior to the election. In a time when we are telling people that, listen, we still have not figured out the formula to provide the free antigen or PTR. What is it? PTRS? What is it? You know, the big time one. The testing for COVID in the Bahamas. We haven't figured that out as yet. We also haven't figured out the expansion of medical health care. And although hospitalizations are much lower than they were in a long period of time, there are deaths that are still going up. We haven't figured out monetarily how do we curtail that in a way that we reduce deaths by COVID to an irreducible minimum. I don't know if we've figured out what we're going to be spending or how we're going to spend to ensure that we do not have vaccine shortfalls like the one that was impending 2 weeks ago. And so... Am I saying not to take your wife with you? No, I am not. Am I saying it's not a good look? And Mr. Davis looks like he's so in love with his wife. I mean, he and Madame Anne-Marie, they always have hands clasped. I have to say that is, you will never see me holding hands like that. I get nervous. My hands sweat. I can't take moist hands. It will never happen on my watch, no matter what public office I ascend to. I just don't hold hands, right? But
it's wonderful to watch. They look delightful. They look like a man who is still head over heels in love with his bride of many years. And I just don't know, right? So are we taking her as Philip Davis's wife? Are we taking her as the Commonwealth of the Bahamas's official office holder of the spouse of the prime minister? What are the trappings that are involved in that? Does that mean she gets to travel at executive class level because she's now traveling in official capacity? Do all the other wives have to now travel in official capacity because they're traveling, either in conjunction with or association to the cabinet ministers that are traveling? And these are questions that I understood upset the Bahamian people just 2 years ago. So if those things, and so much so that Chester Cooper thought to mention it in a speech that he gave to PLPs at a convention, right? And he talked about how this government was duplicitous and how they said they cared about people and that it was the people's time, but the only thing they seemed to be concerned about, and I'm going to read that, was the increase in travel allowances. Brethren, shun the very appearance of evil. I'm going to let you hear the clip from Loretta Butler-Turner, Kermit. And let me see if what she said then, 2 years ago, because this is 2019, if it still applies today, 2021, right? We still have not recovered. Unemployment in this country is still hovering somewhere around 30%. Many people have massive uncertainty in the coming days. With the falling away of the emergency order, many people that have been furloughed are not sure whether or not they're going to find themselves before the faces of a court or before the face of a court because their employer will suggest that they cannot pay. Many people have vehicles that need to be licensed, and I see that we are obviously not intending to waive the penalties. So I imagine the controller, because I know him and he's a guy that wields a big stick, and he is not ever going to flinch, is that controller going to now be requiring people to pay the penalty of the 18 months that their vehicles were not licensed and inspected, or the 18 months that their driver's license was expired? Well, I don't think your driver's license should have been expired. But certainly the vehicle licensing, are we going to, as the cabinet of the Bahamas, consider waiving those fees? Or are we going to simply allow people to be crushed by the charge of licensing the vehicle coupled with the charge of the penalty of not licensing the vehicle because the government of the Bahamas told me I didn't need to? These are all things that we have to think about, right, to get our economy back to where we need to be, to get government revenue back to where we need it to be. And while we are thinking about that, I argue we cannot seem to be having what is colloquially termed in the military as a jolly, because it looks to me like you all are having quite a jolly with this travel contingent. I'm not sure what these bunch of wife could be doing. That's my greatest concern. I'm not sure if we are going to see a time where the travel allowance goes back to where it ought to be, because as far as Chester Cooper says, they had a difficulty with it. And my question is, did your difficulty only exist until you were the one being paid the per diem? Or does your difficulty still exist? And now, because we have power, we intend to fix it, just like we fixed the Munnings Road. See, what you cannot do is make people feel like tide and water in a cup, right? So you move the blockade on Munnings Road, and because the people are fickle, right? Because their emotions have been bastardized and bruised for a period of 4 years, any little stimulation makes them feel so jovial that they live in this euphoric state, and they forget of the things that made them utterly annoyed just 4 short years ago. But are we going to make the changes that are real? So we go to people and say to them, we are a government that proclaimed a thing and we have practiced the gospel we've preached. We told them $250 as a travel allowance per diem was too much. We came to office and in our first 6 months, we reduced it back, if not to $150, to $200. We told them There was no need for the taxpayer to bear the burden of a wife or husband traveling up and down. And I'm saying wife because both the Minister of Transport has traveled and the Ambassador to CARICOM has traveled. I ain't seen none of their spouse. But somehow these man them like pulling these women up and down halfway across the world behind them. So when I say wife, please don't think I am being misogynistic. I am telling you what I have seen. All right? And so you've got to become a government that does not just do good, but that is seen to be doing the good that you have preached about. Brethren, shun the very appearance of evil. And so I imagine that we're going to need to have a calendar for the office of the spouse of the prime minister so that the Bahamian people know when she travels in her official capacity, and I would like for it to be to do more than just hold her husband's hand. I want the office of the prime minister traveling, trying to get me some money for the Red Cross. I want the office of the spouse of the prime minister traveling, trying to get me some money for when disaster strikes. I want her to, she says she's taken on planting fruit-bearing trees. I want her to find me some people from across the world that want to, you know, donate money to that cause. I don't just, if you're going to give her a public office, I don't just want her smiling, waving, and taking pictures. Because then the people will not be able to justify what is the price or the value of that thing. And it cannot be egregiously wrong under the Free National Movement, but I don't hear anything about it now. And so these are the kinds of fickle behavior among the electorate that bothers me, right? You hear people completely blown away at the sale of Batelco. And if you go to the common man, they will tell you the reason Ingram lost the election was because he sold Batelco. Then ask that same person that tells you that, what about the sale of Batelco bothered you? And I assure you, they cannot tell you. And if they can tell you, or if they can answer, it is some potty-mouth, baseless, non-factual supposition that they have no way of proving. Same is to be said about the reduction of VAT on bread basket, or the increase, sorry, of VAT on bread. 90% of the people that are out there creating the hullabaloo do not even look at their receipts when they leave the food store. They don't know if they pay VAT or not. And most people, because you know math is not the strongest subject in this country, can't tell you whether or not the VAT price at the bottom of their receipt was 12%, 8%, 9%. They don't know. So while you guys are busy doing what I consider a lot of heavy lifting, I must admit this administration looks like they want to sprint out of the blocks. I see the Minister of Public Service is saying, listen, I assure you that by month's end, definitely the Immigration Department and the people over there at the prison will have their promotions. These are not contract workers we're talking about. These are people that have devoted their lives. I have committed myself to this, and I'm going to get it done. The Attorney General is saying the Prime Minister has set deadlines with regards to certain pieces of legislation, and if the Prime Minister has said it, I am the Attorney General. I will get it done. And so they look like they've come to do some work. Even though the Attorney General could find time to go catch pot cakes on Ilutra on the weekend, he still seems to be working. But if we're going to be in this fight together, it has to appear that when we suffering, y'all suffering. It cannot look like we still trying to catch ourselves. Our light bills, many of us, is over $1,000. And while we grappling with this, y'all on a field trip having a jolly. Y'all and y'all wife. And I'm not only talking about the Prime Minister's wife, because we may be able to easily justify that. But maybe this is why we need to elect younger men to service. Because I can tell you right now, if I had a wife, she would probably be to work. She wouldn't be able to travel up and down behind me to Port of Spain and all these other places. And so I want us to think about that. Let me let you hear what Loretta Butler-Turner had to say 2 years ago with regards to the uptick in the cost for executive travel and the per diem when the FNM government increased it in 2019.
A blatant insult and assault. That's how Butler Turner described the government's decision to increase travel expenses for cabinet ministers and their spouses. She also called the move unnecessary and says government should rethink it.
It is a diabolical insult to the Bahamian people to have the cabinet of the Bahamas sit at this time when Bahamians are suffering from north to south, east to west, throughout the length and breadth of this country, for them to be increasing travel for spouses, which is totally, totally unnecessary, and adding per diems.
The new travel policy for ministers includes $100 per day per diem for spouses, an increase in ministerial per diem for domestic travel from $80 to $100 per day, and from $150 to $250 for international travel. Ministers are to be afforded membership to the American Airlines Admirals Club, and paid spousal trips have been increased from once to twice per year. Butler Turner, who served in the cabinet of the last Ingram administration, says taxpayers should not have to foot the bill for a minister's spouse.
There's no excuse for any spouse, if they chose to accompany their cabinet minister spouse somewhere, for us to be undertaking their per diem, for us to be undertaking their airfare at this point.
The former FNM MP also slammed the new travel perks, considering Dr. Hubert Minnis heavily criticized the former Christie administration's travel while he was in opposition. Butler Turner said if the government is serious about transparency and its belt-tightening measures, senior officials should eliminate unnecessary spending.
One of the first, eliminate the frivolous stuff. They came to power very much vocal, vociferous, against all of the overseas travel that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs had done under the PLP administration, against what the Prime Minister and the Office of the Prime Minister had done, Perry Christie and those under their administration. And here we have it today, millions upon millions of dollars being expended for travel and for spouses.
In 2018, Prime Minister Minnis said only essential travel would be approved and promised reports of cabinet ministers' travel. To date, that report hasn't materialized. Reporting for Our News, I'm Berthany McDermott.
And so I say to my friends in the Progressive Liberal Party, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22, brethren, shun the very appearance of evil. All right? Let me remind you of what the article said back in 2019, sorry, when they actually did the increases. This is an article from the Nassau Guardian. It says, as a part of the minister administration's new travel policy for ministers implemented by cabinet last year, ministers' spouses will be afforded an additional trips and a $100 per day per diem. Ministers receive a 25% and 67% per diem increase for domestic and international travel, respectively, and ministers are to be afforded membership to the American Airlines Admirals Club, which enables access to its premium passenger lounges in airports around the world. The $100 per day per diem for spouses is equivalent to the per diem paid to technical officers in the public service. The ministerial per diem for domestic travel was increased by from $80 to $100 per day, and from $150 to $250 for international travel. Additionally, a special prepaid debit card will be issued to ministers for use on all official trips, and paid spousal trips have been increased from once to twice per year. For airline travel, business class tickets are to be purchased for all trips less than 10 hours in duration per leg, and first class tickets are to be purchased for all trips 10 hours in duration per leg. And just in case you don't know what that means, if the flight is shorter than 10 hours, you get executive travel. If it's longer than 10 hours, you get first class travel, and that is going and coming. A 24-hour travel desk through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs has also been established in the event ministers encounter any unforeseen circumstances, according to Cabinet's conclusion on the travel policy. To seek to determine what some of the new policies might amount to in terms of cost to taxpayers, Perspective contacted Finance Minister Peter Turnquest for comment on several of the new allowances. On establishing membership for ministers with the Admirals Club, he advised that this has not yet been done. If I'm not mistaken, annual membership is $350 per year, although I'm not sure what the corporate membership may be. Hopefully less than that, Turnquist said. According to the American Airlines website, membership with its Admirals Club requires membership with the AA Advantage Frequent Flyer program, and the annual club membership fees are based on one's frequent flyer status. Individual club members' fees range from $550 to $650 annually, which for 19 cabinet ministers would cost taxpayers $10,450 and $12,350 per year. Though cabinet's conclusion did not indicate whether club membership for spouses would be sought, it is expected that ministers traveling with their spouses would want their spouse to have the same access, which according to AA would require an upgrade to one's membership. Household membership fees, meantime, are double the cost of individual membership. First class and business class customers on qualifying departing international or transcontinental flights are automatically granted access to the Admirals. Why can I not say Admiral, and I'm in the military? What's happening with me? Admirals Club, according to AA, which, based on the new travel policy for ministers, raises questions on why cabinet agreed to seeking paid membership to the club. In response to our questions on how the new prepaid cards will be managed, in whose name they will be opened, and through which banking institution, Turnquest, who said the cards have not yet been issued, explained that cards are loaded with the minister's travel allowance, which is the limit on the card. He continued, the card is in the name of the minister to be loaded when the minister travels, much as they receive check payments now for per diem. He offered, this is a policy adopted by the IDB also. They no longer give check or cash reimbursements, but give us an RBC Visa card that they load with the per diem whenever we travel for IDB. The debit cards will likely be with RBC, he advised. In response to our question on how implementing the debit card system might address internal complaints by ministers about not receiving their per diem checks in sufficient time before traveling, Turnquest pointed out that it will not change late submission challenges, but it is possible that the card can be charged up even with the minister en route to the destination, so there's a bit more flexibility there. In a national address on July 26, 2017, just over 2 months after coming to office, Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis stated the former administration was addicted to luxury travel, often spending extraordinary sums of money on delegations traveling the world at great expense. We would reduce the amount of money spent on foreign travel by government officials. Expenditures for overseas travel continue to be a controversial issue, though the current administration lambasted its immediate predecessor for travel excesses. It has gone further to formalize, by way of policy, marked increases in travel benefits for ministers. The new policy stipulates that at least one technical officer should accompany ministers on overseas trips. The decision by cabinet to have taxpayers furnish ministers' spouses with a $100 per day per diem, though those spouses are not in government's service, is eyebrow-raising, to say the least. The decision by cabinet to increase its travel benefits come as accountability reports on ministerial travel repeatedly promised by the prime minister have failed to materialize. We understand that the ministers generally have not been compliant with furnishing their travel expense report at the end of official trips. Last November, Perspective highlighted that the government's budgetary allocation for travel and subsistence for 2019-2020 fiscal year was set to increase by just over $4 million, according to its 2019 fiscal strategy report. Acting Financial Secretary Marlon Johnson told us the increase in its entirety was associated with domestic travel and subsistence for public officers and medical personnel in the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian, and for the travel by customs officers to clearance of hurricane relief supplies in South Florida. Helicopter travel, according to a document we obtained, included costs to a U.S.-based firm at a rate of $110,000 per day for 6 hours of flight time per aircraft per day. But the following month, Minnis made a statement that differed from Johnson's explanation, saying the over $4 million in travel allocation increase would in part be used for overseas travel to boost international investment. As we put forward in previous as we put forward in a previous piece, the reporting mechanism of the country's annual fiscal budget changed last year and consequently does not enable parliamentarians and the public to track specific line item allocation and expenditure increases for travel by ministers and departments. It is yet to be seen whether the government's upcoming mid-year budget statement will include a full detailed breakdown of travel expenditures. And it is referred to by the former leader of the opposition and former cabinet minister in the FNM government and former, did I say leader of the opposition already? Yes. Loretta Butler-Turner as diabolical that we would even consider this. But I do not hear now any pushback. I do not hear now any adjustment in strategy. I do not hear now any adjustment in policy. And I just want to make sure that they haven't lulled us to sleep by allowing us to drive on Munnings Road again. You can call me, 323-623-2325-4316, 325-4259. I also want you to hear what Chester Cooper had to say at a rally for the Progressive Liberal Party as to what he thought about the increases in travel allowances and how he thought it was against the "it's the people's time" mantra that the FNM government had taken on. You can text me at 422-4796. Let me read a text message because I see I got a couple of them here and I don't want y'all to say that I'm not reading this. Morning. So what happens to those who lost their jobs and now have to find money to pay rent, utilities, taxes, and such when emergency orders are lifted? Every company and department looking for their money, whether you working or not. Every utility company looking for their money and taxes must be paid. Okay. Morning, Levin. You ever seen a two-headed coin? That is the attitude of both governments. Great show as usual. We ask VAT to lower, but the government hiring the price on everything else. Is it too late to tell the government leave VAT the way it was? I told you all not to touch it. And you see the insurance companies now coming out this morning and saying that it is, their word, asinine to touch it. I said the same thing. Great show as usual. Climate change is a historic topic worldwide. How come in the Bahamas, no media outlets talking about it? I know it ain't a popular topic, but politics. But if the world ends because of climate control, we will still try talk politics. Okay. I think it's interesting. I think it's actually tongue-in-cheek for all of the world's leaders to tell me about how we heating up the planet, and then they fly, Kermit, to a climate summit all in their own personal private jets and all drive V8 cars to the thing. I think that was also interesting to me. Me and Motley had to take a four-hour drive in a cavalry of cars, and I know if that keep the planet any cooler. So world leaders make me smile with these climate change symposiums. Let's take a phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there? Not there. Perfect. Let me read the article from...
Morning,
hey, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. I just want to make a comment, and then I want to ask you to find out something.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with all the lavish expenditure this time being given to the parliamentarians, and I agree with you. It's not a good look at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Stringent need of financial aid at this time for the country.
Sure.
Second of all, gotten a call from most of the furloughed workers in Atlanta. They didn't have their pay, their $200 from last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite curious to me because I was like, you know, they should be paid that because they had the 28th, 29th of last month to be paid that, and the 11th of this month to be paid it before the emergency order is over, and mm-hmm. on the 13th of November.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't received anything. No information was given out that this would have been stopped or anything like that. And HR is telling them that they haven't been given any payments from the government. And so that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I need you to check into that for me. I agree with everything you're saying this morning. Explicitly, I agree with you. You've always been doing a good job. Just keep continuing.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So I think Miles LaRota is the minister responsible for national insurance now. I know the money was being paid through national insurance. I trust that he has already began thinking about what the plan will be for how he will get money to people that were furloughed and as a consequence were getting the $200. You say that they haven't gotten it. So I guess we can raise public awareness. Miles LaRota, minister, of course, the people them ain't getting no money. We need to get them some money because we was cussed the FNM. If the FNM to do the same thing. And I was cussed Brenzel because I thought Brenzel was just a sleepy minister most times. This one here says, this is Ijesta Cooper at the Progressive Liberal Party's convention, I think it was. And it says, declaring the Progressive Liberal Party is ready to become the next government, PLP Deputy Leader Chester Cooper told supporters at a rally last night that a PLP administration will put money in more pockets. He said the PLP is not like the Free National Movement or its leader, Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis, who he condemned for flaming the electorate that it was the people's time. All we see is a prime minister who will stoop to any level to gain some political advantage, no matter how disgraceful, Cooper told a crowd of PLPs. Minnis has turned the FNM into a cult of personality where the main currency is loyalty to the leader. Any sort of merit or credibility no longer matters. The only sin you can commit in the FNM is to be critical of the leader or to disagree with the leader. If you talk truthfully about the FNM, even if you're in government, you will lose your job. In June 2018, Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis fired Bain and Grantstown MP Travis Robinson, Golden Isles MP Vaughan Miller, and Pine Ridge MP Frederick McAlpine from their appointed positions as parliamentary secretaries and chairman of the Hotel Corporation, respectively. The firing came after the MPs and Centreville MP Rhys Chipman, who had previously been relieved of his duties as chairman of the Antiquities, Monuments, and Museums Corporation, voted against the government's decision to increase value-added tax from 7.5% to 12%. Following the firings, Minnis said the decision was not personal, but in keeping with parliamentary procedure. Last night, Cooper declared the people need to know that the people... In January 2013, then Prime Minister Perry Christie fired then National Insurance Board Chairman Gregory Morse after asking the Marco City MP in a letter to resign immediately or face other consequences. Morse wrote back indicating that he had no plans to resign as it gave the impression he did something wrong relating to his role as chairman of NIB, which was under intense scrutiny following a forensic audit. Morse said as a result, he expected to be terminated. In Christie's letter to Morse, the then Prime Minister expressed disappointment in how Morse reacted. Christie has since resigned. Its elected leader, Philip Brave Davis, who has been challenged twice at convention and won and holds one of four seats the PLP held onto in the general election, has promised to rebuild, rebrand, and renew the PLP. He has since said the worst is behind the party, which is now repaired and is sailing to the port of victory. Addressing supporters last night, Cooper said the PLP has a secure leader. He made the case that the party does not operate like the FNM and lamented the government's response to Hurricane Dorian, underscoring the small house repair programs has taken 6 months to enter the first phase. Its Dorian donor pledge conference, the increased travel allowances for ministers, what he called the mismanagement of the country's economy, the purchase of the Grand Lucayan Resort in Grand Bahama, and the handling of unions in the nation, and the Town Center Mall deal, which Cooper called wicked. Cooper called the FNM to be fired for failing the people, particularly after riding on a campaign of "It's the People's Time." It was never the people's time, and now the people know it, said Cooper, pointing out that Minnis launched his election campaign last month. He said he hopes the prime minister is ready, as the PLP is willing and able to become the next government. Cooper promised to pivot the country in the right direction towards prosperity and progress. He also pledged to revamp the economy, create more jobs, more opportunity, and more ownership while putting more money in more pockets. So, chief among the concerns of the PLP, right? Chief among the concerns of the PLP while they were sallying, preparing to, in the words of Mr. Davis, sail into the port of victory, were these issues. The small house repair program took 6 months to enter the first phase. The Dorian Pledge Conference, the increase in travel allowances for ministers, the mismanagement of the country's economy, the purchase of the Grand Lucayan Hotel, the handling of unions, and of course, the wicked Town Center Mall deal, as it has been dubbed by Mr. Ijesta Cooper. So these were the seven reasons why they said you should boot the Free National Movement out of office. I see wives traveling with their spouses. I have not heard of a reverse in policy. I implore the Progressive Liberal Party to read and to put it up in your office, you know. Put it up in your office. Let the little gal in your office who does print things print it out like how they used to do in primary school when they had the word of the year, you know. When I was in College of Francis, we used to do the word of the year, and Miss Claire used to make a song, and the one I remember most is respect and responsibility. Responsibility, what have you done with it lately? Ooh, 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 yeah. And so y'all could even make a little song in your office, right? But put this up on the wall. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. Brethren, shun the very appearance of evil. That is my advice to you all. Let's take a break, Kermit. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259. Let me say it again. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259. You can call me on any one of those. You can text me. 422-4796. I'm Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. That means I'm Unleashed. I'll be back right after this break.
Hey, did you find the show interesting? Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Well, sponsor Unleashed today. Call 302-2304 or 302-2375 to see which package is right for you. Join Lavon Miller as he ignites the passion of the next generation by bridging the gap with engaging conversations and innovative ideas. Take action and sponsor Unleashed today at 302-2304 or 302-2375 and be unleashed.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. Levin Miller here, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Let me get to the text messages. You can give me a call. Good morning, Levin. Did they announce the chairpersons for the remaining boards? No, I have not heard that. Nor have I heard the board compositions. I mean, y'all give out a bunch of chairman names. It's been 8 weeks now, 9 weeks now. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. It would be really nice. In all fairness, though, the Free National Movement won the government in May of 2017. They never appointed boards until August, I think it was. So 8 weeks, maybe 9 weeks. So I guess it is common practice to take 9 weeks just to say that we're being fair. Because people accuse me. Can you believe this? People accuse me of being partial in my commentary towards the Progressive Liberal Party. I can't figure that out. I mean, I have nothing to gain on either side. I try to just call it the way I see it. But I would have imagined that if the Progressive Liberal Party thought that the Free National Movement was so dismal, they would have spent the entire 4 years thinking about who they wanted to be on their boards. And as people die, you just wipe their name out. But as long as they were alive, you knew exactly who you and I would come. But I don't see that. It's now about 8 weeks, maybe 9 weeks. And no, we have a couple of chairmen, but I don't see any board allocations, any board compositions. Sorry. This one here says, good morning. Why didn't they hold COP26 virtually? The irony is spilling billions of metric tons of fuel combustion to summon the world to one place. To the text that climate change will not destroy this earth, the second coming will. All right, there you have it. Hey, Levin, I'm watching the House of Assembly this morning, and it's truly a new day, listening to the government speakers, not bashing the opposition all day, but speaking of ways to move the country forward. I really wanted to watch the, but they like to have these things while I on air. Prime Minister Davis is going to make up for all election losses of PLPs. Just wait to see. Scandals will soon creep in. It's only a matter of time. All right, I hear you. Let's take a call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there? Is the call there?
Hello, hello.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Miller. I appreciate that last text, calming the fears of the text, two texts about the climate change destroying humanity. There's a book written in 1984 by the Club of Rome by Alexander King and Virgil Snyder. In this book, they discuss in the Rio, from the Rio Earth Summit, right? Mm-hmm. How do we control and unite the world under a global governance using climate change, pollution, pandemics, droughts, cyber attacks, all of these things they're doing to unite the world. Now, this is just the fear they're breeding. Climate change is occurring, but it's not because of carbon dioxide. It's because of orbital deviances. They notice the ice caps in Jupiter are melting. And so the fact that they're flying rockets into space, left, right, and center, and moving up and down, all around town, and all intercontinental, shows that they know that they're lying to the masses. This is all for control, to unite the people and bring fear and control the world and use this fear to control the world. Climate change is only one of the trump cards, along with cyber attacks. Just read the book, The First Global Revolution. You'll go and see it for yourself.
Okay. All right. Thank you, 52. So let me read this last one. This one was from Prime Minister Minnis, defending his increase in travel allowances. It says here, and this article was written in the Tribune, of course, on December the 2nd, 2019. Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis said increased travel to areas affected by Hurricane Dorian and the need to boost international investments to the country are the reason why the government's travel budget has increased. The 2019 Fiscal Strategy Report noted that budgetary allocation for travel and subsistence was said to have increased by more than $4 million. And I kind of always like when they say by more than $4 million, because that could be anywhere between $4 million and $5 million. But anyway, this comes after the government boosted its travel budget to $18.9 million at the start of the fiscal year. In opposition, the Free National Movement frequently criticized the Christie administration's travel expenditure. Although Dr. Minnis agreed in 2017 to release a log indicating the travel expenses of all cabinet ministers, the administration has not followed through on his pledge. I'm glad to have this conversation because we put out the new travel numbers for the public to see, he said yesterday at a press conference. The reality is that we are at the confluence of two major issues, one heartbreaking and the other heartening. We had to increase travel to the areas affected by Hurricane Dorian, and as I've said, we won't stop until those affected are back on their feet. At the same time, we are laser-focused on attracting more investments to the Bahamas to create more economic opportunities and better jobs. He also said the opposition is so focused on criticizing everything we do, they are talking out of two sides of their mouth and spectacularly and foolishly contradicting themselves. The leader of the opposition criticized the increase in travel budget, a part of which will be used for travel to boost international investment, while at the same time, his deputy said that the government should seek more international investment, which of course will require international travel. One way to increase international investment includes investment promotions and meetings overseas, which require international travel. We have to be aggressively on the road promoting all the islands of the Bahamas as prime investment destinations. We are pleased with the new international investments coming on stream in Grand Bahama and will have further announcements for Grand Bahama and Abaco. I am pleased that since coming to office, we have attracted approximately $8.6 billion in international investment. We intend to attract even more through marketing and promotions overseas. And so there you have it. I don't disagree with executive travel. I want if you remember, I was the one that said I wanted the Prime Minister to take the Ministry of Foreign Affairs because I just want him, like the old people say, upping and downing. I want him upping and downing, spreading the good news of the great gospel that the Bahamas is still here. We are still up. We are still running. And if you got money, we love you. And we want you to come see us. So I have no problem with that. I just want to know if when Miss Anne Marie Davis travels, if she's traveling as Anne Marie Davis or if she's traveling as the spouse of the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, because that is an official office and it comes with staff and set per diems and that kind of stuff. I want to know when all these other ministers carry their wife up and down all over the place, because I can't carry my wife up and down all over the place, chiefly because I have no wife, and secondly, because they ain't letting me go up and down all over the place, whether or not I could get a per diem, because we had a problem with this. And if we had a problem, I think we should adjust it. Anyway, last text right here says, morning, Mr. Miller. I am waiting to hear the government plan for rental assistance. Some of us landlords are out $10,000 or more, and no word from Prime Minister Davis. You are absolutely correct. More than $10,000, let me tell it to you. Anyway, that's my time. Thank you so much for staying with me today. I don't hear my music yet, but I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. I know, you know, the world knows they do it all day. The news is next.